Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey y'all, this is Joe Tower, and here's a little treatise on some changes we're making at Tales of Melancholy to better reflect what we think y'all want, and also what the fuck is going on in the world around us. Tales of Melancholy will now alternate the lineups of its live shows with all male and all female performers. And I don't know, there may even be periods of time where we'll be predominantly or forever female. We choose to be on the right side of this goddamn revolution, guys. In addition, we're adding a bonus feature to our podcast. Each month, we'll release our usual two new storytelling episodes by two new storytellers recorded live at one of our past shows, but also we'll be including a third and an additional episode, a one-on-one conversation between me and a past or current performer who, for whatever reason, needs a little more time at the mic. It'll be a discussion about individual and specific tales of folly, but also the role that both tales and folly play in all of our lives. This month only, in lieu of the second storytelling episode, we'll be releasing our first one-on-one episode exclusively to give it the attention it's due. But don't worry, starting again next month, you'll get your full folly menu for all your folly needs. They say a good rule of thumb for the persistence of a thing is to have a theme and stick to it, so your audience can count on what you have to deliver. But when we started this storytelling show almost 3 years ago, as sort of a surface-level laugh about dudes, we didn't know what the state of things was going to be today. So I think a good rule of thumb for the persistence of this thing, our thing, is to evolve with the times. And if that means we're an all-male storytelling show that's suddenly now mostly female, so be it. What we have to deliver is good stories. Stories that offer a certain brand of shameful relatability. Shame around the choices we've made in our lives that aren't the proud, valiant, admirable choices, but rather the self-serving and stupid choices of the asshole, the idiot, the buffoon, of the simple-minded human who, in that particular moment, was just trying to get through, man. It doesn't matter who you are, you've all got a real good story about doing dumb shit. In a set of circumstances where male folly played out from the stage into real life, after our first ladies-only show last November, my producer Brian and I managed to lose the sound file containing the recording of the show. It was an epic show, too. And as a way to rectify that shitty situation, we have reached out to all the ladies in that lineup and asked if they'd be comfortable having a one-on-one conversation with me, Joe Tower, about their story, female folly, and how stories of folly play parts in their lives overall. Now, one bonus episode per month will be this one-on-one conversation with someone who's done our show, perhaps a storyteller that performed before we started recording the shows, perhaps a performer who didn't feel comfortable with their story ending up on the podcast, friends of the show, enemies of the show, the performers, actors, writers, storytellers, comedians, and artists of every medium who have made this show what it is. But, ladies first. And so, for all of your listening pleasures, I'd like to present our inaugural Tales of Male Folly one-on-one. From City Tavern in Culver City, this is my conversation with stand-up, storyteller, actor, and writer, Jenna Brister. Jenna is a 5-time Moth Story Slam winner, can be seen in the feature film Permanent, and is the writer for the Lifetime made-for-TV movie Killer Twin. She is, without a doubt, a Tales of Male Folly MVP and one of the coolest chicks I've ever known. Here's our Tales of Male Folly one-on-one. So, like, in Chicago, I feel like everything was sort of tied to booze in some way. And in California, I got to be a little bit more conscious of it. Because there are people that don't. There are people that can't. And I want to be sensitive to all that shit. And, like, it's not really part of the culture as much.
But I'm always always like respectful of that. Like, I'm never surprised when I hear someone's like, no, I'm actually not drinking. I'm like, mad respect.
You always relieve me, because like even when we did that storytelling benefit show, you were like, I'm going to get a glass of wine. And I was like, yes. Oh, thank God. Me too. Let's go.
These noon show times outside at noon. I'm like, I have to have a drink. There is something like,
yeah,
I think comedic and cultural about it.
I agree.
It's a crutch. It's a beautiful crutch.
And it's a communion. Yes. And it's like,
yeah, yeah. It's like, we're all having a good time.
And you God, know. You know, God, like, knock on wood, I definitely have a sordid past with, like, getting in trouble and booze was involved, but...
Totally. Same.
Knock on wood, I've never had a problem, so, or felt that I had to, but...
I've woken up outdoors. That, to me, when I'm like...
Oh, I don't... I can't say that, Jenna.
I haven't either. That's why I haven't stopped.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Right? Until you do it, you're outdoors, fine.
In New Orleans, though. Which is sort of par for the course.
Yeah.
And it was my last night in town, so I feel like that was legit.
Yeah.
Totally.
I hear you. I might even get a cocktail. Is that crazy?
Oh, I'm getting a beer.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you so much again for having me. This is so fun. Any excuse to see you guys.
Oh, my God. Like, of course.
Yeah.
And also, I feel terrible about losing that show file. The show that you did for Tales.
Don't even worry.
I know. I still feel
bad. But it's probably hard after all that work. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
This is great.
This is so great.
So you did our show, and I lost the file.
It happens. That was a great show, I remember.
It was a great show. You are one of my favorite storytellers.
So nice!
Of all
Thank
time.
You! That's so
you
sweet.
You are the best. And so I just want to like revisit the story you told.
Mm-hmm.
It was about, and I may ask you to touch on one of my favorites of your stories, just because.
Perfect.
But... It was about a boy.
A dating snafu.
A dating snafu, if
yes,
you will.
Yes.
Which is that part of is that part of the course for female folly? You think like what's so male folly's easy. I feel like female folly is more elusive. That's where I'm like
yeah.
We did an all ladies one, this last one in March, and the question came up that was like, are these stories about male folly told from a female perspective? Or are they stories of female folly? And I was like, I think they got to be stories about female folly because we can't make female folly about men also. So what do you think? Because I think at the root of male folly is always like not wanting to be misinterpreted or not wanting to be judged as like a... Dudes don't want to like. I hope they don't think I'm a pussy, or I hope they don't think I'm capable. Or
more like
hope...
approving to others.
Yeah.
And I feel like women, a lot of it's proving to self.
Whoa.
Yeah, I just realized that because like I think a lot of my, especially like that dating snafu story, a lot of mine come from like me confidently marching towards disaster, not even realizing it, just like in the dark, marching towards the edge of a cliff for the sake of love and of self-preservation. And then when it goes awry, I'm like, oh, okay, well.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Which
do you have a lot of stories of like dating prior, because you're in a very committed relationship now.
Yes, I am.
With a spectacular gentleman.
Yes, he's wonderful.
Do you feel like you've had a lot of those? Do you feel like it's sort of the female, because Molly always talks about like the plight of like young females is to just date dudes that are horrible and be bad at dating until you figure it out.
Totally. I think a lot of mine, especially a lot of my early stories, when I first started really doing this, like at the Moth in New York, they were all like, because I was not a Casanova growing up, you know? I was a very late bloomer. You'd be very surprised. But most of my stories of like snafus are me trying to impress a man I have a crush on,
yeah,
and he has no idea. And I'm doing it like at a summer camp or like, and I misfire. A lot of misfires. It's not usually us already in like a romantic partnership. It's me being like, you know what's going to impress if? Me wearing the Spanx unitard and flying out the back of a speedboat. And then, like, I get badly injured, and then he's not impressed, and we don't start dating.
And also, maybe, like just concerned for your well-being.
Yes,
never romantically. Is she still breathing?
Yes, yeah. It's never like, wow, that confident little maniac who stole my heart. It's like, oh, wow, she's nuts.
In the unitard.
Yes, exactly.
I feel like men have some of those. Like, men, like definitely when we're young.
Yeah.
There's like that idea of trying to impress someone that may not have any idea. We want to impress someone before we actually let them know that we're interested.
Yes.
So it's like, maybe I'll just skip that step and go right to impressing them.
Yeah.
Look how fast I can run.
Exactly.
And look how far I can kick a soccer ball.
Yeah.
Katie Chapman. Look how far I can kick a soccer ball. I tried to impress Katie Chapman when I was like 6.
Yeah.
With my soccer prowess.
Yeah.
Terrible at soccer. Not athletic.
Not having that.
So like.
Yeah.
No.
Not meant to be.
Didn't do any good.
Yeah.
Not meant to be. Exactly.
Yeah. It is interesting. Like, and so much of it does come back to like that fear of rejection, you know? And I think like that story I told, I think it was on a first date I went on with this guy who I recognized because he was like on a TGIF show.
Ooh.
And so, I mean, of course, if you're
single.
Which
is righteous.
Yeah. You're going to say
yes. That's such an LA story too.
It's so LA. It's so LA.
Can I ask how long ago the story this
probably 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah, 4 or so years ago. I was
so you're single, you're in LA,
yeah,
you're doing the biz, stand-up, writing, etc.
Yeah, exactly.
Where did you meet?
Oh, backstage at Artie Lang at the Staples Center. Yeah, because like one of my good friends like opened for Artie, and so they're like, do you want to go backstage? And I was like, okay. Like, I'm not a diehard Artie fan, you know, but I mean, I hope he's doing well. And so then afterwards, we all went backstage, and there was like this, they were like, oh, do you want to meet Artie? And I was like, okay. And so I like, go back, and there's like a single file of women. This is pre-Me Too. This is pre-Time's Up, because this would never happen now.
Totally.
And he was like on the other side of a room on a couch, and women were allowed to one by one go like hug him, and I was like, no, I'm not doing this. So I like hung back, and then I ended up talking to this TGIF guy.
That's
bananas.
That's all bananas.
It's like all bananas. Whole... Yeah, it was so weird. I was like, it was like very Jabba the Hutt. Like that's what it felt like. You know, like he was on the front.
Like, he was just like taking audience.
Yes. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The hope.
Yeah. And I was like, no, dude. No.
Please,
I'm
no.
Sorry. No.
I beg you not.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That wouldn't. I mean.
That wouldn't happen. Like
yeah.
We're in such a different time. Even 4 years ago, where that was okay to like lure women into the green room.
And we're going like deeper every
yes.
Like every news cycle. It's like one
every
Morgan
thing.
Freeman now.
Yeah,
like,
and even this morning, I guess as we're recording this, Weinstein turned himself in
Huffs.
New York. Yeah.
Huffs. Yeah.
I'm
win.
So curious to see what's gonna happen.
It's a win.
Yeah.
I know. Well, I mean, like, what does it end up being? Like a couple months in like white collar jail, or like
playing tennis? You know, slap
bad,
on the wrist with a racket. Yeah, exactly.
Totally.
Yeah, that's what they do. Yeah.
So you meet this guy, the TGIF actor,
yeah.
Who shall remain nameless for anonymity's sake.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so of course I was like, yeah, I'd love to go on a date, you know, because it's and that's another thing too about getting older.
Did you guys was it natural right away? Did it seem like?
Yeah,
yeah.
Kind of. Yeah, he's very funny. Very funny. And I love, like you know, just smart, funny people.
Yeah.
You know? But again, this is the storyteller in us. I couldn't wait to tell my sister and all my friends. I was like, I don't care what happens. No matter what happens, this is a story.
You're in it for the material.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, not to sound heartless, because, of course, you want to go on a nice date. But, come on, man. That's
well,
so funny.
Of course, you're always trying to live your authentic life. But, and my Molly is, like,
yes.
Such a great example of this. Because she's the kind of person that, like, yes, I will go deep.
Yes.
And knowing that it's going to be a disaster. And I will still do it for the sake of the story later.
Because it's going to be a really good story.
Yeah, exactly.
Because no one got anywhere just saying no to a bunch of stuff. Right?
Well, that's the issue. I think, like, that really separates. Because I definitely, like, have never thought of my life in terms of stories I was going to tell. And I feel like as a... Like, if I were a very active storyteller, it would be hard for me to, like, mine my life.
Okay.
Because I don't have... But Molly was, like... And, you, like, there is that sense of, like, there are those people that are, like, oh, no, no. This is it. This is the material.
Good
yeah,
story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my end game.
Yeah.
My end game is not even getting out of the situation alive.
Yeah.
It's, like, getting to... Stay to getting to the mic.
100%. And paying attention to like the details. That's what I noticed too.
Yes.
Like, I remember there's been so many instances in my life with that too where something starts to unfold. Like when I was at a high end day spa and started getting
this
like a happy ending.
This is
and
the
I
story.
Remember, yeah.
That's
the story.
It's maybe top five.
Oh.
Best stories of all time.
That is so.
Because that's the one you told at The Bachelor. That's the
yes,
one you told at
yes,
The Bachelor.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It is like, and it's funny because even before we met, and even before I saw you do that story, like Molly and Jesse were talking about that story. They were
gonna
like,
add something at sex talks.
Like, you would not believe. She's got this story that is fucking bananas. And, like, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
It was, like, it was already, like, in the lore of storytelling before. And it is perfect.
Because it's something that, like, doesn't happen, you know?
Right.
And let alone to someone who's, like, you know, like, I think I was at the place where I was single also. Went to get a massage. You know, I have an open heart, but I don't go into it thinking like, all right, I'm going to pay for acts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I remember as it started.
And also, it was like a known, pretty well-known
place.
Right?
Yeah, a huge corporate place. Yeah. But like, there was no penetration, just to anyone listening. But as like things started getting fresh, you know, like kissing or whatever, I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to tell this at the mall. Like that's, and that's my problem is that I'm such a, it's so ingrained that I was like, no, just enjoy this. But then it was like, no,
be in
remember
this
everything. But and so I was like looking around, getting the details. I was like, what music's on? Oh, Serenity Jams. You know, what does it smell like? Lavender. Like that's the storyteller in me. And so it almost like, it's like a two-headed monster in my brain.
Be in this moment, but also, I could win the moth with this.
Yeah.
I got second place at the Grand Slam.
Oh, it's fucking great.
Yeah. Dave Ross beat me with a drug story.
Oh, Dave.
I love Dave Ross.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But this story should have. Oh.
It's one of those. I went early. Anyone who knows, I went second. It was never meant to be. But it's so fun to tell because it is one of those things where you're like, as it's happening, and you have so many thoughts. You know, I think with any sort of life-changing first-time thing, there's so much going through your brain, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think there's something, and I definitely want to get back to your story from the show, but I think there's something, and you would know better, because did you move from stand-up to storytelling, or like,
yes.
Where, okay, so you were doing stand-up first, and you still do stand-up.
Yeah, I still do stand-up, and I realized like a lot of my stand-up was storytelling. You know, I was like trying to find stories to tell on stage because, especially in New York, there was such a mix of people.
Yeah.
I started doing like a club in Times Square when I was like 23, I think.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, what?
Well, and also like no one gets into storytelling thinking like this is going to be my way in.
Yeah. Right? Or that there's even a world of competitive thematic storytelling.
Right. Except maybe Margot Lightman. Like
yes,
she was the
yes.
only one that was like, no, that has been fighting for it since the get-go.
Exactly.
But,
I met her. She was my teacher.
Oh my God.
At UCB storytelling.
I said to Jesse, I was like, when we sat down, I was like, so are you the godmother of storytelling in LA? She was like, no, Margot Lightman.
Yeah.
I am the fairy godmother of storytelling. I was like, perfect.
100%.
So at what point does storytelling come along for you?
Oh, I was probably 24, had been doing stand-up for a couple years, and I think I went to a moth.
Yeah.
And I walked in and I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
People do this and they're not comedians. And I loved that. I loved the fact that it's not these like, oh, we got one-liners for days. It was like, no, these are like real people.
Yeah.
Smart storytellers, you know? And it's like, it can be about the most mundane thing, but that's kind of like the best dinner parties you go to. Like, that's what it felt like. I was like, okay, how would I tell this at a dinner party?
Yeah.
The story about, you know.
To like one person sitting across.
Totally, yeah. And so it's like, okay, so that's how you do it. And so then I started getting into it, and it was the most fun thing ever. Because real life is ridiculous. True life is like the funniest, right? Like, how was it for you? Did you start telling like...
Well, I think like, I mean, one of the main reasons like, I feel like I even remotely have an understanding of it is because of Molly.
Okay, yeah. She's amazing.
She's amazing.
I met her doing storytelling and she blew my mind.
Yeah. She's like one of the, she has like, she's like one step. She also like, I think, especially doing her one person shows, she has a knowledge about telling a good story, but also how the audience is perceiving it. And she always says that, like, you know, she would come out and she would do these shows about all of her, like, sexual mishaps.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd be in her red lipstick with her hair blown out and her heels on. And the audience was totally non-responsive.
Yes,
And then the moment she did a show in her glasses and her ponytail, no makeup, and her fucking flats, all of a sudden the audience was into it. And I think what I drew from that was like a real understanding of like how the audience perceives you. And I think doing Tales of Male Folly, I'm only really at this point getting like a very clear understanding of what the show demands of the content. And so I think I'll get like a little more stricter, like a little more strict every show, because each time, you know, the few times that I've had like a performer be like, hey, will you take a look at this story? I'm getting, I have a better sense of like what notes to give. Or like, this phrase works this way, but not this way. Don't ever say this.
Yes.
Like, these are the things that are going to make the audience disconnect from you, especially under the umbrella of what our show is. I feel like it's a fine line. And yeah, definitely what I'm asking people to do is like horrible, because I am like, I am asking them to like strip away all of their like tripwired knee-jerk self-protection.
Totally. No
which
ego.
Which is like, just talk and be as like raw nerve as you fucking possibly can, and don't ever pull back.
Yeah.
And that's hard. Yeah. It's hard not to be like, oh, I did this thing, but I'm not a horrible person. Like, just say you did the thing. Yeah. See how it goes.
Totally, because like, chances are multiple someones are like, I did that too.
Yeah. Relating is huge.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
So you get a date with TGIF.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dude.
And well, I love what you said, though, about like Molly switching up her appearance. I've totally had that happen, and that's actually a Margot Lightman-ism. You know, and also anyone listening, she has two books out.
Two books now.
Well, Gawky's her memoir, but yes, then it's also like the last
the storytelling book
you'll ever need.
Yeah.
But one thing we did at the start of her class, this was maybe 10 years ago, New York. Oh my God, it was 10 years ago. Is that before
is that
everyone
crazy?
Knew each other? Yeah, it's crazy.
Holy shit, it was 10
yeah.
years ago.
I met like Becky Flom, like all these people. We had to go one by one out in the hall, and then you walk in, and everyone in class writes down their first impressions of you.
Yeah.
And then when we went on around and read them, it blew my mind. It opened up everything. Everyone said that I looked like I would be the crazy one on Real World. And then I'd be like, they're like, oh, that's the wild one. And I was
love
like,
it.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah.
Like, no, you know.
I got that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because okay, yeah. I did it, like, I went to theater school, so, like, we had to do that kind of shit too. Yeah. And anytime, if I walked in a room and then I sat down to, like, answer some questions or be interviewed, it was always like me then trying to like self-correct, because everybody was like, first impression was like, you look like the kind of guy that knows where the party is. And I was like, oh, right.
Good to know.
That's accurate.
Yes, yeah. But it totally is a tool in storytelling.
It's funny because it's totally inaccurate, because I feel like I am a...
Always texting people and be like, where's the party?
Where is the party? I'm still in my pajamas. Where's the party? Yeah. I'm halfway through Narcos on Netflix.
Yes.
Where's the party?
Yes.
Yeah, that's interesting. So did you feel like you had to like... That you like calibrated... like how you come off when you walk on stage at a storytelling show?
100%. I think before I was always like I rarely even wear a dress or a skirt to perform. There's something old school. I don't know why. I feel
there's well, especially audiences, men and women alike, are totally judged.
Totally judged. Yeah. We're like, times I've gotten super glammed up.
Yeah.
No one believes that I have snafus. And I'm like, also if you're listening, I'm like a 7. If everyone does it, I have an 8. Like if I have a team, but like I'm not a 10. I'm a 10 in Home Depot. That's pretty much the only place.
No, my God.
But like, yeah, Home Depot, I am a perfect 10.
I'm a Midwestern 10.
Oh, my God. Isn't it so fun? Oh, going back? Yeah, I'm like, oh.
Absolutely. I'm like, oh, this is it. Yeah. I should live here. And then I'm like, no, I'm not. I shouldn't. No. Sub-zero temperatures. No wonder I'm a 10.
Yes.
Because I can still maintain some color in sub-zero temperatures.
Exactly.
That's why. Yeah.
But it is such like an interesting thing when telling stories, you know, to know like, oh, okay, they have people have judgments. That's what we do every time, even at the Moth. Like, I remember when I favorite stories I saw was in a Grand Slam I was in New York, and Uncharted Territory was the theme, and this little woman got up, she was maybe in her 70s, Mrs. Potts, you know, had like a gray bob. I was like, this is the cutest little grandma I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And she told a story about how her husband cheated on her, and then she started dating a man who was into BDSM, and so they were going to go to like a conference in North Carolina. He got sick, she went alone. So here's like this Mrs. Potts grandma talking about how the way that she knew how to knit really well helped her in the harness workshop, and how about turning a KitchenMaid mixer into a sex toy. And I was like,
well, that's it.
That's on me for judging you being this like, like, no, you've lived another life.
But that's also, you have to have her appearance and that story together is like,
it's cool.
Perfect story.
Because she's not this like, you know, strung out, whatever.
Margot actually has another Margot Lightman, if you're listening
multiple
to this.
Multiple
shout outs. She's getting a hashtag for this one. She also has another great comment, or another great like note about certain things to leave out so the audience doesn't judge you. She was talking about like, I think a Moth performance she had, where in like the first line of the story, this dude mentioned
mention that he'd gone to Yale.
Oh, yes.
And if he'd left it out, the story wouldn't have changed. And it's like the moment you say that you did your undergrad at Yale, everybody's like, oh, judged you, instantly.
100%. So like, everyone has their notions of Yale. Definitely.
And what dudes that went to Yale are like. Mm-hmm. No offense to my people out there who went to Yale.
Yeah. And if they slip up, you're like, well, good.
Yeah.
You know, no one feels bad for you.
You fucking went to Yale, asshole.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, always leading with, like, the universal thing.
Yeah, something, like, absolutely. Something broad or, like, just a class. Like, as much fuck-uppery as you can put on yourself. I feel like it stacks the deck in your favor.
100%.
Every time, as much as you can take, like, ownership over how badly you screwed up.
Yeah. And I think what's so good about this show, too, is, like, letting go of the idea that anyone is perfect. I think that's something I've gotten so much better at as I get older. I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't expect other people around me to have it figured out.
Nobody
so
knows anything.
So why am I feeling shy about the fact that I'm, you know, ways that I've been a total mess.
100%.
Yeah.
Or, like, anytime I get worried about being, like, a rookie or a novice of something, I'm like, nobody knows anything.
Nobody knows anything.
Nobody knows anything.
Ever.
So, TGIF date.
Yeah.
So, you guys meet backstage. He asked you out on a date.
Yeah, called me the next day. That's what you do. You
know,
that's what
you do. Yeah,
yeah. And I was like, yeah, you know, go on a date. Why not? Let's do it. And so,
can't wait to tell my sister about this.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, because I was like, this. No matter what, this is already hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, because like it's TGIF.
Yeah.
I grew up on that stuff.
100%.
But the fun part of the story is that he ends up bringing his friend, who turns out later, I find out months later, was his ex-wife on our first date. And I think the Jenna that went on that date, I was like, oh, I love her. Oh, just blindly, like, just marching towards.
Did you guys, were going to, like, an award show or something?
It was, like, a premiere.
You were, like, in a limo.
Or he drove us.
With her and you and him.
And me not knowing. And it's, like, thinking back now, I'm like, oh, man.
But also, like,
that's so funny.
A little shame on him for not being, like, yo, we're going to be joined by a third.
Yeah.
It's my ex-wife.
Yeah, totally.
Don't sweat.
Yeah.
All good.
Totally.
Like, anything.
And I think you and I both, like, I still come from the age where I don't Google people, or at least what I was,
right.
I mean, I'm in a relationship now for 3 years almost.
Yeah.
But, like, back, like, I would never Google someone, I don't think
I Googled Molly.
You Googled, okay, yeah, what'd you find?
I went to her website.
Yes.
And she had a really good website at the time.
That makes sense.
She had a bunch of shots that Robin Von Swank,
nice.
Who also did our wedding photos, is one of the greatest photographers in Los Angeles.
Nice.
She had these great shots and, like, stuff about her shows.
You had to wipe that up.
I knew. I was like, I gotta lock this
down.
And then
I love that.
And then I can totally rely on her for supporting me emotionally.
Yes. Oh God, that's what it is, right? Oh,
crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So, that's not. Did they have a kid together? His ex-wife.
No.
So they were just like good friends.
Yeah, still really good friends, and
I mean, good for them.
Yeah,
good for them.
But it's one of those things too, where like. Blindly going into stuff. I mean, that's like most of my follies are like, oh, I have this to 100% figured out. I'm going on a date with this teacher.
I'm an adult.
And I'm like, no. I'm the third wheel on like an ex date. We're like, no potential to reconcile. Like, why am I here? Like,
the third wheel on your own date.
On my own date. On my own date. And I didn't find out later till like I saw IMDb and I was like, oh, I could have figured this out before the date if I would have Googled.
And it would have taken like one, like just like a little
one click. Two clicks.
Two clicks max.
Yeah. And so I think that to me too was like, all right, okay. Maybe I don't know everything.
I like how positively you enter every situation though. Because in that story too, I felt like the whole audience was waiting for when it was going to turn. Because you really were like, building that sense of being like, I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah.
This is totally great.
Yeah.
This is totally great.
It's so great.
I like that sort of relentless positivity.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
At least you're not going into every situation cynical.
Yeah, that's true. To be
which
like,
can also cause a little, like, follow, so.
Absolutely. I knew, I mean, it was so funny because there's so many funny details even from that night. Like when, you know, she asked me how old I was and stuff like that. I was like, so I was 31 at the time. I'm not 20, you know?
Yeah, what's good? Wait a minute.
Yeah,
was this an interview?
That's such a weird, and like, there's all these red flags now looking back. I'm like, oh, why would she care? Oh, because it's her ex-husband. Yeah. Where I was like, oh, of course she wants to know how old I am.
She wants to know who her ex-husband is dating.
Exactly. And it didn't even occur to me. It was just, it was kind of rude, you know, or I was like, well, I didn't ask her because I don't do that. I have manners.
Just from a, like a male perspective.
Would you ever do that? Like,
in man, like, I actually do have an ex-wife.
Yes.
So
yeah, I was married
that?
Once before too.
Yeah. Oh, there.
Yeah. Hey.
Cheers to that.
To the new year.
To the second wife,
around.
Molly. Sorry.
So you know.
We were very young, mm-hmm. and we had a very amicable split, and I care for her very much,
totally.
And I think she's a rad person, and I think we were both. It was just like a mistake that a couple of kids made.
Yeah.
And not even. Okay. I think like. You know, under different circumstances, it could have been different, but that's not the point. And no way. We were friendly after our divorce,
yeah.
And no way I ever would have even told her about my dating life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
totally.
Interesting.
Let alone bring her along.
Do you still talk to him? Are you still?
Oh yeah, we're still friends.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
He would like come to shows and
great.
Bring me. Yeah, so he's like really lovely.
He's like a
very,
rad, supportive
very,
guy.
Really supportive. He's like very nice, very funny.
Dang
like
it.
Yeah. So no,
yeah.
No bitter.
No.
Know?
Yeah. Was, well, that's the other good thing yeah. about the great thing about that story is like there's no bad blood.
No bad blood. Yeah. But you're right. Like knowing what we know now, there's that scene like in Wedding Crashers. Remember when Rachel McAdams and Christopher Walken are flower shopping and
yes.
she's like, I don't know what to do, like, do I get the votive of whatever,
yeah.
and he's like, all you can do is make the best decision you can with the information you've been given, and I'm like, that is the best life / dating advice I've ever heard.
It really is.
Like getting married, like saying, like, I did it with all the information I had, then I got other info, and then I made a different choice,
yeah.
but I didn't have that other info, same with you, you know, and it's like,
it's,
so we can't fault ourselves.
It's like the term, it's like the phrase, like, I will make a judgment when all the results are in.
Yes.
And yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm going to live this life with knowing what I know in that moment.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
when new shit comes along, then.
Exactly.
And then that new shit might even be waking up one morning and realizing, like, this marriage was a horrible idea, which I did, which she and I both did, and
yeah,
that's what
yeah,
happened.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But like, it did also get a lot of people off my back, because you know people get on you about getting married. Like the first, once you get the first one out of
sure.
the way, people chill out.
And then if you get divorced, then they're like, don't rush into anything.
No, yeah, exactly. Like I'm in a great partnership right now, but like luckily everyone's like, we're gonna let Jenna do what she wants.
Yes.
Like, and
you
I'm
earned
like,
it.
Yeah, you will.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
I don't mean to get personal, but amicable divorce or bad divorce?
No,
bad,
yeah,
bad.
I had
okay,
to Houdini right. the shit out of that.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, then let's...
Yeah, it was good. We can talk about... Yeah, we'll talk about it. But yeah, I'll tell the story
it.
If you want. Yeah, I had a Houdini hardcore.
No shit?
Yeah, yeah.
How long ago was this?
4.5 years ago. Maybe almost five. Almost 5 years ago.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I was old enough. I was 29. If the whole thing was 5 months. Met the guy. 3 months later, got married. 2 months later, gonzo.
Yeah.
So it was like I legally dated a crazy person. That's why, like, because I've had longer relationships that have affected me more than
that's
that.
The thing about crazy people, though. You don't know.
You don't know.
They are good at seeming yes. not crazy.
Yes, they are. Till they have what they want, you know?
Ooh, I am
it
sorry.
Crazy. No, it's crazy.
And
oh,
also, I'm glad
badass.
That you're... Yeah.
I feel very hardcore.
Right, you're like a magician / yeah. ninja /...
I got this, actually, right after I got out. I got Harry Houdini's signature
fuck
tattooed
you.
On my arm. Isn't that tight? Like, right after I got out.
It's right on your bicep.
I didn't get the word Harry, just Houdini.
Harry
Houdini's
signature.
Isn't that tight?
Girl. You're badass. That's some badass. That's some next level badassery right
yeah.
there. Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
But it's like, it's nuts. I'll definitely, I'd love to, we'll talk, you know,
we
about
have
the
to.
Story.
That's a good.
And that's the thing, too. And people always ask me, they're like, okay, well, do you still, like, believe in love and marriage? I'm like, yeah, yeah. You know, like, it's that's why I did it. I believe in partnership,
right.
but it's like, I didn't know that he was nuts.
And also, we're not fucking psychic as people.
Yeah,
right?
100%.
So we meet a person and we're at a state in our life and they're at a state in their life and a thing can transpire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I had some shit to learn about myself too. Like, I had no idea I was that badass. I had no idea I had it in me to, like,
Well, maybe you needed that just to prove
I
it.
I did. I 100% did. I did.
And to
I
get like, that fucking tattoo?
Yeah. Isn't that sick?
I'm jealous as fuck of that tattoo. Are you kidding me? Jesus. It's so good, I'm blushing. Serious.
Thank you. It's so great. I remember, like, I went to the tattoo parlor, like, in East Hollywood, and I was like, I need a Harry Houdini signature. And it, like, it took 20 seconds. It's not that big, you know?
But
it was,
like, so good.
It was, like, very... Because I used to... My nickname in high school was Houdini. I used to be able to, like, I would escape parties, like, if I was, like, someplace that I didn't want to be.
I am the classic Irish exeter.
Yes! Yeah. Which is so much nicer than being, like, okay, bye-bye-bye-bye-bye.
I mean,
bye.
I'm married to a person that has to say goodbye to every single person before she leaves a place, which is adorable, but I'm just like...
I'll see you in the car.
Yeah,
I don't want to do this.
I don't want to do this.
Me neither.
I don't want to do this.
Lovely.
No, I don't want to interrupt your party. You keep doing your thing. We'll talk tomorrow.
Yeah. I was here, but we're okay. 100%. Yeah. I saw Paul Simon at the Hollywood Bowl a couple nights ago.
It
was awesome.
The finale.
The end,
the last tour.
He's so great.
Also the bowl. I mean.
Yeah. It was so good. It was so cool. But, like, it was great. We're with, like, a group of four different couples, and, like, the ones with kids vanished. They Houdini'd so hard. Yeah. Like, I didn't even see them leave. And I was like, I get it. No hard feelings.
Oh,
I was
every
like,
time.
Go. You have a babysitter. I don't care. We don't have to hug. We don't have to do this.
No.
You know, like,
text me.
See ya.
Text me tomorrow.
This
me
is fun.
A couple days. I don't give a shit.
Thanks for the gummies.
Yo.
Hit at the right time. Mm. Everything's fine.
Nothing
We're
like a,
cool.
Nothing like a good gummy that hits it, like, hits at the right God. At the right time.
Exactly. Just show up at the bowl and hallucinate Paul Simon's there.
God. Doing his, yeah. So he was in a good show.
It was a great show. Yeah. He's just so, like, God.
Storyteller.
Yes. Total storyteller.
I mean, big time.
Yeah. Hardcore.
Well, what's interesting about writing and storytelling is the expectation on whether or not you will be writing material from your own life or not, or inspired by your own life. And I know, like I always said, because I went to college for creative writing.
Oh, awesome.
And there was always the encouragement to, like, write what you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not why I became a writer. Mm-hmm. I know all the stuff
yes.
that I know, and I'm bored by it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to write about stuff that I don't know.
Yeah.
And if that forces me to have to, like, fucking research something, then great, I'll do that at that point. But, like, I don't want to write about my own life. I think live storytelling does have, like, that element where it's like, it is you, but it's not you. And it is a true story, but it's, like, not, because you still sort of fit it into, like, a three-act structure. You still sort of fit it into, like, this, like, someone wins, someone loses. These are the stakes. This is what gets lost. So it still has to, like, be filtered through something.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
You're right. It's almost like you zoom out and you're looking at yourself from, like, a bird's eye view.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, there's that person just marching into this treacherous situation.
Totally.
Unaware. And then we watch it. But I think that's the best thing about storytelling is when, as soon as you have perspective, because we know, like, the therapy style versus the storytelling style.
Yes. Yeah.
And I love the storytelling when, like,
yeah.
you have that view of yourself where it's like, so 22-year-old Jenna was X, you know, or
yeah.
Joe.
Yeah,
you know,
reflecting like, back. And I also think it's important to, like, well, okay, so there's, especially if you're reflecting back in a story where you're talking about your past self and then you're telling it as your current self.
Yeah.
This idea of, like, a lesson having been learned or, like, what I knew after that, I think that there's, like, a, like, the statute of limitations. There's, like, I think up to the point when you get up to the mic, you can still suddenly realize the lesson you learned from that story. I don't think there's, like, a time stamp on that. And I don't mind stories where people learned valuable lessons in the moment. I am not a person that learns a lot of valuable lessons in the moment.
Yeah, you're not Full House. You're not
I don't, like, get to the end of the episode and I'm like,
and
well, here's what I know now.
100%.
You know? And it's not like I haven't made the same fucking stupid mistake. Not two times, not three times, but, like, 10 fucking times.
But you're this person still.
But I'm this person.
Yeah.
And it takes a long time to undo your bad behavior. And it's not one story that's going to be like, and then I never maxed out my credit cards ever again.
Totally. Yes. Or shit my pants somewhere I shouldn't. I have, like, so many stories that someone was like, oh, did you tell this shit story? I was like, no, I told this one. I'm like, oh, you have more than one? I'm like, dude, I got five.
I have two at least.
Yes,
I have a solid two.
Yeah. Because because people like us, like, you don't just have one. If you have one, you have many, right?
Also, let me just say, in defense of stories about shitting your pants, that's not a thing you can really plan for. Because sometimes biology just, like, takes hold.
Yes, exactly.
Biology and circumstance collide, and, you're at the mercy of...
I'm a grown-up, you know?
Oh, man.
But those are, like...
The entire UCLA undergrad track team walked in on me at the track men's room, naked from the waist down, washing my jogging shorts in the sink because I had shit in them.
So funny. What's up, guys? Get your time trials in? Okay, good.
Occupational hazard. How's everybody doing? You guys get your electrolytes in? Great.
Good.
Gotta go.
Beat those Trojans,
oh
you know?
Oh, my
like,
God.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was my most recent classic incident.
Yeah. I know. I think even... Oh, gosh. Yeah. As soon as you feel like, oh, I should have learned better, like it happens again. I remember I shit my pants on La Cienega driving to meet a friend of mine who's a pastor. And I went straight to my chiropractor's office on Sunset, and I was like, thank God. Thank God I had, like, track pants in my trunk.
Because
what you do in L.A. You just have shit in your car that you can use.
Also, the possibility of being in traffic long enough to have to shit or piss is so possible. Have you ever heard Nick Kroll's story about shitting on the freeway?
No.
It's priceless.
Oh, my God.
And normally, as a dude, I think there is something to, like, a female telling a story about shitting her pants where it's, like, a novelty. I think a dude telling a story about shitting their pants is like, well, yeah, of course you did. You're gross. Men are gross.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with that.
Yeah. But then if a lady...
Nick Kroll tells the story about the sort of gradual build when he's stuck in traffic on the 10 or something, I think, and how it just gets to this... Because it gets to, like, a point of emergence.
Yeah, yeah. To
where
a 10.
It's like... there's no other option but for me to let go.
Mm-hmm. Or explode. Or you hurt yourself.
Yeah, you, like, pop. You start bleeding internally.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I'd rather not.
That's so funny.
Oh.
Those are some of my favorites, too, because there's something just so primal about it, you know?
I just think it's, like, that's one of those it's a human thing. And I think, like, blue humor, like, definitely, like, shit humor and whatever. All right. It's been, like, run its course and it's been overused and, like, a lot of performers rely on it. And definitely, like, in the realm of, like, Tales of Male Folly, it can go horribly wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it's, like, a fine line that has to be tread. But I do think it's one of those, like, follies of humanity where it's, like, you could do everything right in your day, in your health regimen, plan everything to a T, and you can still shit your pants.
Yeah.
It could just happen.
It could just happen so fast. Yeah.
Yeah, I think those... I hope at some... And I know now... We're definitely in a place where, with storytelling... about folly.
Yeah.
And I think, like, it's important to me to, like, really define what folly is. To really define, and, like, vulnerability, and, like, where it's not a choice that we're making for sympathy, where it's, like, especially with men, where it's, like, something that we're just being...
Because there's an earnestness about it, too.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
You know, where you're like, you know, I think this is the way to do it. And then either it is or it's not.
Yes.
And then it's kind of that naivete that's very relatable. Because none of us are, like, experts at everything.
None of them,
let
most
alone
of
romance
us are not
and
experts.
Flirting. And,
I mean, that's
you know?
The shit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
where we
exactly.
are not.
I'm like, oh, I have no...
Dear God.
Yeah, I have no game.
But I think, like, in particular, we're in a place where men... We had to be really careful about what we say.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Which I'm happy to. And that is legit. I mean, this show used to be called Boys Will Be Boys. And I definitely changed that when Trump got elected. Or right around that locker room talk bullshit. I was just like, now I get it. Because here's the kicker. Is that I would consider myself as a man, like, hip to...
Oh, yeah.
equality.
Yes,
and
of
the
course.
Feminist movement.
Yes, yeah,
and
you're a feminist.
I remember when we first started the show, and it was called Boys Will Be Boys, a couple people were like, that title like is a little bit like, and I was like, no, that they get it, they'll know.
Yeah.
And looking back on it, I'm like, oh, that was like my fucking white privilege talking. They'll just get it.
Yeah.
They'll just know. And the reality is, no, they won't.
Mm-hmm.
No, they won't. So like, and on its own, that can just be offensive.
Because you're at the different connotations where it's kind of like, oh, we fucked up because we're, yeah, you know, we're fucked up.
And I think
versus
that moment was the moment where I realized, like, that's real folly. Is like me admitting, like, no, they won't know. And I am I am just another white dude who, like, has been so programmed by his own privilege.
There's so much programming.
Don't know any better. Don't know any better, but, like, I'm learning. I have to relearn.
Oh, 100%. I feel like everyone's in this scope right now, too, just, like, looking at the socioeconomic privilege, you know, and, like, racial. And it's, like, it's so bad.
Yeah.
It's so bad now.
So
you know,
bad.
We're, like, even some of my, I remember even when I told the story about the, you know, getting the near happy ending, someone afterwards hit me up and was like, you were assaulted. And I was like, no, I was down. You know, but they were like, tried to tell me that I was assaulted. And I was like, I get that there's a space for that.
Yeah.
But
which your story, like, that's that particular story right now could be pretty divisive.
Oh, 100%. It is now because it's a corporation. If I would have left that room and gone to corporate, I probably would have a huge settlement and be living in Malibu right now. But I didn't go that route.
Is it too late?
Is it too late? But then, like, of course, this storyteller in me was like, I didn't feel it, but we're living in different times now where it's like, I mean, I'm not a whistleblower, you know, but I remember, like, it is interesting. Like, you look at it different, you know?
Yeah.
Where I don't feel like it was assault, but then after, like, the Me Too stuff came out and people are talking about, like, oh, someone touched my boob at a concert, I'm like, okay, get some real fucking problems, you know? Female who survived stand-up for so long, like,
yeah, totally.
Shit happens.
Molly has said that, too. I know that as a white dude, I can't say that. I mean, I think the only time in recent memory that I totally rolled my eyes was that one. I think every dude has gotten what they deserve.
Yeah,
but
Aziz.
Like, Aziz, for sure. But also, actually, with the Aziz one, I was a little bit like, yeah, definitely leave the apartment.
Yeah.
But also, Aziz, read a fucking book. Get some game, bro.
Get some game.
You're a fucking millionaire, famous person.
Yeah, don't do that.
And
like, leave the models alone.
That's the problem with celebrities. Like, don't rest on your laurels, buddy. Like, learn how to fucking do it. And
that's the time we live in right now.
There was the accuser that said that she felt like Louis C.K. was masturbating when she was on the phone with him.
Oh, okay.
And I was just a little bit like, hang up the phone, or like, was he? Like, I don't know. There's just like, that was to me like the abuse of the movement.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where it was like, there are girls, Asia Argento, like, legit got raped by Harvey Weinstein. Yeah. So let's, like, say
career man's, yeah.
Yeah. Or like Mira Sorvina, like.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, you're exactly right. Where it's like, that, I think, is the conversation, because that's a different one.
Yeah.
About, like, Aziz and, like, how to date and how to woo a lady.
Yeah.
Dude, you're, like, what, 40? And that's what's so, that is so interesting. When I read that, I was like, oh, God, this reads like a dating story.
Yeah.
Not even one that would be funny in a show.
Yeah.
Like, if I went to that show and I was like, hey, so I got a funny story about the Parks and Rec guy.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that funny.
Yeah.
I know she's not trying to be funny. She's actually trying to, like, you know, but it's a dating story.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
I'd probably be seemed heartless for that.
I'm certain that I could be, like, accused of something.
Yeah, oh.
In this conversation.
Or I could accuse others of much worse, but I'm not, you know?
I just think, like, it's a super tender time. We all got to be, like, really careful and, so we're definitely conscious of it. Like, I'm definitely conscious of it at the show.
Yeah. Well, then that's good, though, because, like, you're right, especially having, as males and females are now both, there's a lot more, like, a self-examination going on.
Yeah.
You know, with, like, why did I do that?
Yeah.
Why did I march into this situation?
Yeah.
Thinking everything's going to be okay when it's definitely not.
Yeah.
You know, and I think,
the story about the happy ending.
Yes.
you went back, right?
I did. Yeah, I did, because I was still single, and I remember thinking like, oh my gosh, that was like, and I told the story
because he knew what he was doing.
Yes, yeah.
And he was pretty good.
And I only got a 15-minute massage, so the bell rang. Nothing happened, if you will.
Yeah.
And so I left, and I remember I went immediately to see Magic Mike because it was in theaters. That's how long ago this was. Magic Mike was in theaters on the Promenade.
Oh.
And I remember being like, either I can't tell anyone because I don't
or
know
I
what
to
you would say.
Everyone.
Or I have to tell everyone. And I was like, and I chose everyone. I chose and I told the story on stage.
This story could not have been kept.
It's exactly, because it's one of those things that people are like, no, it doesn't happen, you know, and but then it does.
Just kidding, it does.
Yeah. But I think so I went back, so I won a Moth Story Slam in the meantime of this.
Yeah.
And so
with this story?
Slam, no. I used this one in the Grand Slam because the theme was Fall from Grace.
Awesome.
And so, which I looked up, I was like, what does that mean? And it was like a fall after a period of good behavior. And I had not gotten a massage in like 6 months because I was like, I don't know if I can go back.
Yeah.
And so I drank like 2 Blue Moons and I called the place again and I was like, is this guy still working there? And they're like, no, he's no longer with the company. And I was like, oh my gosh, he fingered a whistleblower and got canned.
Yeah.
You know? So, and they were like, oh, but Randy's available. So I was like, perfect. So I'm like, all right, I'm going back because I wanted to get the end of the story that I could. Again, circling back to everything we do is for a bucket story.
I mean,
and so I was like, I need a tag for this story slam story. So yeah. I go, I like have another beer, and I like go to the massage place. It's very, very fancy, and it's Randy with an eye. It was like a 65-year-old Slovenian, like this woman built like a linebacker, jack-o'-lantern teeth, and she's like, Jenner, all right, let's get into it. And I was like, oh, that's perfect, and that's the end of the story. Where it was like, and now I only see female masseuses like on principle, you know.
Oh,
no offense, male
God.
Masseuses, you guys are great. Most of you are very legit.
Oh, Randy
but
with an eye.
It was one
eye.
Of those things where I was like, oh, that's funny. Of course, he's probably in jail. Like, who knows where he
yeah,
is?
Yeah, yeah,
he
yeah.
lost his certification.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's such a fun story to tell because it is like, it's one of those things where you're like an unlikely hero.
Totally.
You know?
Well, and also, you know, it is in a time, especially now when we're, you know, not inundated, but where there are unfortunately too many stories about victimization.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
There is something empowering about your story where you're like, I decided, you know.
Yeah, because I think, right, like, as, you know, I was like on the verge, massage ends, as I'm leaving, he told me, he hands me his business card and he's like, I make house calls. And I was like, oh my God, am I the hottest girl in the world? No, this guy is a fucking prostitute. And so then I had this like realization, I was like, I just paid for that. I just paid $150 for like that. And then if I invite him to my house, like, that's actually, like, I'm a John. I'm like in my 20s, I'm a John. Like, this is sex, this is paying for sex acts. And I'm not there yet. And it was a nice thing to realize about myself that I was like, no, you still got it, Jenna.
I'm not.
You don't need to do this.
No, you don't.
There will be no dollars exchanged.
But also, no judgment if you have.
Exactly. And there's a place for that, too.
You
there's
a been
place
a John.
For that.
So
what if I was
funny.
A John? Yeah, I was like, I'm Richard Gere. He's Julia Roberts. But I had that. I had to have that moment
Maybe
with myself.
Maybe this is your next movie.
Oh my God, 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, the accidental John. Oh my God. Starring Amanda Seyfried. Like, someone like that, right?
Oh God, it's so genius.
Yeah. So
I love it.
Yeah, so that's like, you know, the beautiful thing about those stories is like, I ended up going back because I needed an end to the story.
Oh my
and there
God.
We are.
Yeah. And there we are.
There we are.
Shit, well, that's fantastic.
Yes.
This was so delightful.
This was so great. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. Thank you, Margo, for
thank you, Margo,
all
for
you've
being
done.
Our
yeah.
hashtag.
Yeah, exactly.
And thank you.
Yes, thank you so,
so
much.
So, next show, you'll have to do a future show.
I have a Lifetime movies airing this month.
Oh, that's right. That's
yeah,
right.
I just found out it's airing on the main Lifetime channel. It's called A Sister's Obsession. So, if you have Lifetime, set a record.
Remind me again, because we've talked about it, but it's about... Is it about... Yeah, let's
So it's
go.
Like a two twins separated from an orphanage, one raised in the system, one raised by like a nice family, and it's like a stolen identity thriller. The bad one comes after the good one and like kills her friends, like tries to fuck her husband.
Writing
Lifetime. Yes, exactly. So talk about Lifetime. like out of genre, it's you know? Perfect. Yeah, so it's good. So keep an eye out for that.
On Lifetime, on the
on Lifetime Network, yeah, yeah.
Great. Did you went to set too, right?
I did, yeah. I flew to Vancouver, went to set. It was so emotional. Oh my gosh, I wrote the whole thing in my pajamas, you know, in my little studio apartment in
Venice.
And
then like all of a sudden you're there and you're like, yeah, this is a thing.
It's a thing. And the crew was amazing, and they got Lindsay Hartley as the star, and she's from Passions. She's amazing. She's an amazing actor, but she had such heavy lifting because she played both twins, and they shot the whole thing in 12 days, and she's playing the two leads, and I was like, watching it happen, I was like, this is amazing.
That's
it was really cool. Yeah. It
keep
was
an
like,
eye out for it. What's the title again?
It's a Sister's Obsession.
Love it.
Yes.
Love
awesome.
It.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You Jennifer.
Yes. Thanks, City Tavern.
Thanks for listening to Tales of Male Folly. If you dug what you heard, please subscribe and or rate us below. If you hated what you heard, tell us what we did wrong so we can try to appease your unreasonable expectations. JK haters, Tales of Male Folly, the podcast, is a Hatbeard production that can also be found on the Extra Credit Network. It's produced and hosted by me, Joe Tower, and executive produced and edited by Brian Weiss. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Pippa, and Spotify. Our live show is produced at various venues in and around LA by me, Joe Tower, with the help of Alex Gredette and Brian Weiss. It's presented in partnership with Big Brothers Big Sisters of Greater Los Angeles. For even more details and where and when to see one of our live shows, peep us at www.talesofmalefolly.com or email talesofmalefolly@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Instagram, but not Twitter. Twitter is for trolls and white supremacists. We all know that. Twitter is dead. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.